You're listening to Little Love Stories, written and read by Danielle Hines. Short stories about love of all kinds, delivered weekly to your inbox.
Welcome back to Little Love Stories. I'm Danielle. And before I get to the introduction for today's story, I just have to share that we live in a townhouse, and it's one of those stacked, well, it's not stacked, I don't know. It's really tall. So there's four floors. There's the basement, the main floor with our living room, the second floor with our kitchen, dining room, my office, and then the top floor. So, you know, the no shortage of spaces for me to go to. And yet today, for some reason, it just seemed like there was noise everywhere. So I am hiding out in our bedroom now trying to record this. And then there's like this air cleaner running. So I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but it's going to stay because it just seems like there's some sort of noise going on in every single room today. Anyway, so today's story is entitled The Ex and the Rehash, and I wrote this just after the pandemic hit, so, you know, pre-vaccine, pre-mask requirement, that kind of weird space where we were just like, what is going on? And most of us were in some kind of lockdown, confinement-type situation. And it seemed like the entire world was anyway. And I've been talking to friends over Zoom more often, and I noticed a little bit of a trend with some of them, especially ones who'd been through breakups in the past year or so, missing their former partners. I mean, and thinking about it, it's such a natural thing, right? Here we are with this now kind of enforced isolation, and it brings on loneliness. And so I had spoken to quite a few friends who were just kind of reminiscing and sort of concentrating and remembering the good times. And in one instance, I had a friend who specifically reached out and asked, you know, please remind me why I broke up with this person. So that's not what this story is. I'm not, you know, I'm not here to air her dirty laundry. But I based this story on that experience. And I noticed, too, in a few of my friends' former relationships, a bit of a pattern of a certain personality type. And these friends tended to be more low-key, empathic, introverted, very supportive, very nurturing kind of personality types, and their former partners were more extroverted and kind of always going from thing to thing to thing. And so that's what I decided to base this story on, just sort of sometimes we don't fit. And if both people are not willing to sort of talk about things and name things, you know, name what's going on, be honest about communication difficulties, you know, different approaches to life and how that's either working or not working in this case. If the other person's not willing to acknowledge any of that, there's not really anything to cling to build from. So that's what this story is about. Just, reminding someone that you can't go back and you can't build a foundation with someone who's not, willing to recognize that the roots are rotted. So here is The Ex and the Rehash. Jenna's raven black hair bobbed up and down on my screen as she attempted to adjust the angle of her camera. Video calling was the way of the world these days. She was a 2-hour drive away and was caring for her aging father during our province-wide confinement. Her days were spent dressing, feeding, bathing, and walking, but her nights were filled with anxiety and missing the person she'd left 3 short months ago before this whole pandemic had hit us hard. Jenna was lonely. Her heart was still tethered to her ex-girlfriend, and it was becoming increasingly difficult for her to recall why she had left the relationship in the first place. "You're here to remind me, Danielle," she said, and then took a long sip of her tea. "I texted Taryn last night after 1 too many glasses of wine. She has not replied." "I see," I said. "So I suppose that somewhat answers the question I was going to ask. How are you?" She rolled her eyes. "I'm not great. Dad is becoming more and more despondent. The nurse comes at noon every day to help me, but it's not going to be enough soon. He's going to have to go into a home." My heart sank. "I'm so sorry, Jenna, truly. That's not an easy decision to make." She shook her head. "Nope. And I'm an only child, so there's no one else to help me make it." "I know," I said. She sniffed and wiped at her eyes. "Anyway, I'd rather not talk about that today," she said, in an attempt to pull herself together. "I wanted to talk about the other thing that is constantly running through my mind these days. I want to talk about Taryn." I sat back in my chair and took a sip of water. "Of course, honey, let's talk about Taryn." "So you texted her last night? Is that the first communication since February?" Jenna sighed. "From me, yes. She had texted and called a few times back in March when she heard I was moving in with Dad to take care of him. I didn't answer her, though." "Okay, that's what I thought. I recall you saying you need space." She nodded. "Yeah, everything was still too fresh. Now, though, I'm finding myself remembering all the good things. She was so funny and spontaneous. I missed that. I miss the joy she'd bring." I smiled, recalling Taryn's outrageous sense of humor. It was one thing to be at a bar or a party with someone like her, perhaps another to be in a relationship. "Totally understandable. No one is black and white, honey. She had plenty of good traits." Jenna looked straight at me. "And plenty of not so good." I cleared my throat. "Okay. I'm just a friend here. I am not a therapist." "I know," she exclaimed. "Okay, just so we're clear," I reminded her. "This is a dangerous game. My own feelings about Taryn were not important." Jenna wanted to remember what her feelings were. "We're clear, Danielle. Don't worry." I sat forward and lowered my shoulders. "You left her because you could no longer be the tiny planet to her blazing sun, honey. She was exhausting for you. She needed constant attention, affirmation, and entertainment." Jenna nodded wordlessly. "She was a cycle of neediness, but she hid it behind this fabulous exterior. It was a total mindfuck. She seemed like she had it all together, but her veneer was thin and required continuous propping up by you and at times her employees." Taryn owned a small candle shop downtown with 2 part-time people, both college students, who helped her run it. I continued. "And what would please her or make her happy would constantly change. Sometimes she'd love so-and-so at the shop down the way, but then he'd do something she didn't like, and so she hated him again. And you had to agree. It's like you weren't entitled to your own view of things. Not really. Not if you were going to be let into her world." Jenna was tearing up, but prompted me to continue. "She was rarely overt in her disapproval. It was always more subtle. If you displeased her by not agreeing or seeing things her way, she would look away or give you the silent treatment. She'd withhold love and affection, all the while claiming that nothing was wrong. It was maddening. You constantly questioned yourself and your actions. This went on and on, Jenna. Your world was Taryn." "I know," she said slowly. "What you told me back in February, honey, confirmed what I had been witnessing on the outside for years. You said Taryn had no depth. You said she was too afraid to go deep because there was only shame beneath her surface and she was too afraid to face it. So she developed this shell of a personality to keep her from having to experience anything real. I said all that? She asked. Yes, I replied. I just reread the text you sent me before we hopped on this call. You said all of that. Whew, she said, letting out a long-held breath. Jenna, I have no doubt that Taryn can be absolutely lovely at times. In fact, I know she can. I've seen it. But this other side of her casts such a huge shadow, and the main issue with it is not only how it affected you as a partner, but how she refuses to acknowledge it. Like, how can you work with that? Jenna rubbed her forehead. Sometimes she'd get close, but then it would just get manipulative again, and it was the getting close to honesty that kept me hooked for so long. I wanted to reach through the screen and hug her. I bet. It's so hard not to see potential in the ones we love and rest our hopes there when things are hard. But without any real attempt at change or even a sense of accountability, she's spinning her wheels. This means you are too, as long as you're tied to her. My friend took another deep breath. Thank you. Okay, this is what I needed. I smiled. I get it. Listen, you're going through a lot. Give yourself a break. It's so normal to miss the good stuff. Jenna wiped her eyes again and waved to me. I need to go have a good cry, she said, and possibly pour myself something stronger than this tea. Whatever you need, love, I said. I'm here. She sighed. And if she texts me back?
This has been Little Love Stories by Danielle Hines, author of the Sweetwood series, out in spring 2023. To find out more about Danielle, visit her website, writingmiracles.me.